The scripture reading for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 to 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. If I have not met you yet, my name is Pastor Mindy, and I am the Midtown Campus Pastor here. And it is really good to be back with you all because I have been out for the last couple of weeks. My family was on an awesome trip to Disney. It was fun, and we did a road trip. There's us in front of the castle. We asked a random guy to take our picture, and it worked out fine, so everything was good. Happiest place on earth. It's great. But we did this trip as a road trip, so that was a big debate in our house. Do we drive or fly? I voted fly, but we drove. We drove, and it was great. So it was 2 days down and 2 days back. And on this drive, we did something that we have done many times before on a road trip. Maybe you have too. We stopped at McDonald's, the finest cuisine you can find on a road trip. So we stopped at McDonald's, and like I said, this was not a new experience for our family, but when we walked in, we realized maybe it had been a while since we'd actually gotten out of the car and entered a McDonald's restaurant. Because when we walked in, we started to go to the counter, and there was no one at the counter. There was no line of people at the counter. Instead, everyone was gathered around these life-size screens putting in their orders. Okay, so I'm a millennial. I mean, and I'm an elder millennial. It's fine. It's fine. I preach from an iPad. Like, I have all the technology, but I need you to understand the struggle of ordering on the screen. I mean, it was so difficult. Zach and I are sitting there, and we're, like, trying to hit the buttons. We're like, how do you add fries? And when you've been in the car for 6 hours, it's like, this is a very desperate situation. Okay, I'm like, I need the French fries. It was so hard. And so it was humbling, and it was frustrating. And I think at the end of the day, it was just change. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about change. And whether you are at a fast food restaurant or we're talking about like actual important, significant change in your life, change is something that we're all going to go through. You know, some of us love change. We seek out change. We embrace it. Others of us here are like, if nothing ever changed in my life ever, totally fine. I can deal with that. It's fine. Maybe most of us fall somewhere in the middle and we think, you know, change, it's inevitable, but it just kind of makes me tired. But no matter who you are, change is inevitable. And so this is one of those things, as we're in this series, a little help here. It seems like navigating through change is probably something we could use a little help with. So today what we heard Matt read for us in this text comes from the prophet Jeremiah. And he is talking to people who I would say are not just a little tired of change. I mean, they are totally worn out. They are really struggling. Change has done a number on them. They don't want their lives to look the way that they do now. They would love to go back to before this change took place. They would love to erase it and have everything be as it was. Now, if you were here with us during Advent, we were in the book of Isaiah. And as we were in that book, we talked about something called the exile. We talked about that a lot. Well, the exile, if you weren't here, was this event that happened where the Israelite people, they were conquered. They had to leave their land. They had to be forcibly moved somewhere else. And it was just this really hard, traumatic event that they went through. And so when the prophet Jeremiah is talking here in this text, that's who he's talking to. He's talking to people who have gone through this terrible thing and who have to figure out what their lives are going to look like now that they've changed so significantly. And what I think is so interesting about this text that Matt read for us is that this text is very specific. I don't know if you felt that way as you heard these words, but I think it can be really tempting to not relate to what Jeremiah is saying. I mean, you might have sat there and thought, okay, I'm not getting married, not having kids, I don't have a kid to try to marry off. Like, Jeremiah wants me to plant a garden, I have an apartment window. Like, that's what I got here. So we can hear these words of Jeremiah and think, this does not relate to us in our context at all. But what I want you to hear today is that as specific as his message is, it's really just about change. And that is a universal experience that we all have. And in that talk about change, there's some very real truth about what it looks like to navigate through it, but also what it looks like to depend on and trust in God as we go through change. So I think the first thing that we have to do when we encounter a change is just to let ourselves be honest. Now, it seems like I'm starting in a really simple place, but if you've ever been through a change, you know this can be really hard. To be honest about the things that we're grieving, to be honest about the things that are challenges, to be honest about what we're excited about or the things that we have no idea how to do. But when we look at Jeremiah's words, what he's really saying is, friends, look, I know you're not happy with how your life has turned out. I know you don't like what the reality is. But the invitation here is to just name that, to be honest about where you are, and to see what God can do. You know, I think that one can be really hard for a lot of us. When I think about change, one of my very favorite sayings is that people don't fear change, they fear loss. I don't know if you've heard that saying before. I'm not even sure who said it originally. Google will give you about 25 answers. So this is a very popular quote, but the reason I like this quote so much is I think it sums up what a lot of us go through when we face change. You know, when we find ourselves and we're resistant to the things changing in our lives, I don't think that's necessarily because we're stubborn or we're not curious. I think change in itself can come with the risk of losing some things that are really important to us. And even when change is good, there can be grief, there can be loss, there can be things that we just wish we could hold on to, but we can't. So when I look at this text and I see Jeremiah say things like, build a house, plant a garden, get married, I'm like, okay, this all sounds positive unless you don't really like to be outside, then the garden piece you could take off the table. But everything else Jeremiah is saying, it's like, that's all good, exciting stuff. Why are these people not excited about what he has to say? I don't think it's what he's telling them to do. I think it's where he's telling them to do it. Because they might look back at Jeremiah and say, that all sounds great, but I just want to go home. I just want things to go back to the way they were. I want to want these dreams that God has for me. But what about the dreams that I had for myself? What do I do with those? You know, I think there can be a lot of tension when we're going through change about the way we hold gratitude for maybe the new thing, because not all change is bad, right? There can be some really good changes, but we can hold this gratitude for a new thing, but also holding the honesty of what we've lost. I think I've experienced that with every single change I've gone through. And I was thinking about maybe some of the changes that we go through, again, that aren't these like tragic, hard things, but are good, but can still have that tension. So think about in your life, say you get a promotion. That's exciting, right? You're like, I'm making more money. I'm doing a more exciting job. Maybe you're doing a more exciting job with your promotion, but something is changing. Your work life, it seems like it's growing. It's great. But you might also have the situation where you're like, I've been on this great team for 5 years, and now I don't work with them, and I miss them, and there's some loss there. Or think about if you have a baby. That's an awesome change. It's exciting. You have this new person, and you love them more than anything in the world. It's just you also didn't realize how much you love sleep. It's a change. It's a loss. Or for you parents with adult children, your adult child finds their person, and you're so happy for them. They're happy. They're building a life. It's the best thing ever. But the truth is, that means your routines, your rhythms, your holidays, all this stuff starts to change. And there's gratitude, but there's also a little bit of loss. I just think sometimes gratitude and loss are a package deal when it comes to change. And it can be hard to hold those things together, but when we do that, that's really faithful work. Because that puts us in a spiritual place where we can be on the lookout for God. We can say, God, this is it. This is what I have. This is my reality. Here's what I'm dealing with. What are you going to do in the midst of it? And when we can do that, that's when we can stay open to what might be possible. Now, full disclosure, I've told a few people this leading up to this sermon. I said, of the sermons I've preached lately, this one feels like the one I'm least qualified to preach on. And I think that point, staying open to what's possible, that's where I struggle the most with change. I will dig my heels in and just stay in my own stubborn way as much as I can. But I think the time that I experienced this being the most difficult was when our son Reese was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes back in 2020. Honestly, when we were in the middle of it, it just felt like nothing was possible for us. It just felt like everything was falling apart. We were in the hospital with our then 3-year-old. COVID was just starting in the real world. I mean, literally, it was March 13th, 2020. So I'm just going to guarantee you at least had a weird day that day. Maybe it wasn't as bad as mine, but it was weird. Things were shutting down. Everything was falling apart. And so we were there and we were facing this like big diagnosis with our kid. We were watching and we're like, what is happening in the world? And then in the middle of all of that, we had this wonderful diabetes educator come in. And she was the best. She was compassionate. She was thorough. She was lovely. She was kind. Our kids had gone to daycare together. Like, it could not have been a better person. But she came in, and she started teaching us how to take care of Reese. And if you don't know a lot about type 1 diabetes, I'm going to tell you there's a shocking amount of math involved. And so she's sitting there in the hospital with us with this notepad, and she's doing fractions. And I'm just sitting there thinking, dear diabetes educator, you are lovely. You are a gift from God. But I can't math on a good day. I can't math on this day. I might not ever be able to math again. And that feels dramatic. But I think that was the temptation, was to just think that the whole thing was going to be impossible, was to think that there was no way we could learn all this stuff. There was no way we could care for our son. I remember at one point in the hospital, I looked at Zach and I said, it just doesn't feel like normal life is for us anymore. And I'm really mad about that. So I wonder for you if maybe you've had that kind of reaction to change before. If that's how you've felt in the face of something difficult or challenging or scary. And if that's how you've felt about change, I just want you to know you're not alone in that. And my guess is that you probably had a pretty good reason. Because change is just a really complicated beast. Like, there are some truly life-altering things we go through, and sometimes we choose those things, but sometimes they're chosen for us. And sometimes all we can do is keep moving forward and trying to believe that God could do something in the middle of a total unknown. I think that's part of the challenge and the invitation here in Jeremiah. You know, when he tells people, he's like, settle down. He tells them to pray for the place and the people. He tells them to basically integrate themselves into a culture that P.S. for a lifetime, they were told avoid at all costs. I mean, the things he's telling them to do make no sense. They go against the grain. But I know what Jeremiah knew is that if there was any chance that they could find hope where it felt hopeless, they had to be open to the possibility that they could begin again and that God could do something. They had to believe what Jeremiah knew, that every change, whether we choose it or not, brings with it some kind of possibility. Now, this is the part of the sermon where I say, I know those possibilities aren't always easy to find. Okay, this is not me trying to sugarcoat some of the changes we go through or some of the hard moments we face. Some things are just hard. But here's what I believe. If we follow God, if we trust in Jesus, if we are just even holding on to this thing called faith just a little bit, then hope and possibility have to be part of our story. They just do. That's why we show up here. That's why we sing these songs. That's why we pray these prayers. That's why we read scripture, because we believe that our God is a God of hope. And we believe that even in the biggest changes of our life, that maybe something good could be possible. You know, I think sometimes that hope and possibility simply just comes in the form of people. And so the last thing I want us to think about as we're navigating change is just the importance of connecting with your people. Now, sometimes these people might be the people you expect. They might be the tried and true ones. These are the people that you call at 3 a.m. and you know they're going to pick up. I hope you have a person like that in your life. But I think sometimes as we go through change, some of those people that come across our path, they can be the people we would never expect. They can be the people that we weren't even looking for, that God brings into our lives for a time such as the one we're going through. When Jeremiah is talking to the people, I want us to understand that he's talking about something that's a communal effort. Because what Jeremiah says is not, he does not say, okay, go build a house, put up a big old privacy fence, slap on a no trespassing sign, and avoid these bad people at all costs. He doesn't say that. He says, get in there. Make some friends. Build some community. You are going through a change, but don't let this change isolate you. Let this change make you open to how you might connect with someone you would never expect. Sometimes we can have those surprising connections. You know, it's Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, and so I've been doing some reading on him. And as I did some reading, I was surprised to find that he had a friendship like this. So Martin Luther King Jr. met Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel at a religion conference. You obviously know who MLK is, but you might not know a lot about Rabbi Heschel, so I want to tell you about him. So he was a rabbi that was born 20 years before MLK. He was born in Europe. He was Polish. He had to flee Europe in the 1940s. He lost family members in the Holocaust. I mean, these guys had very different backgrounds, right? On paper, their friendship didn't make a lot of sense. But at this conference, it turned out that these two strangers from two totally different backgrounds quoted the exact same passage from the prophet Amos in their talks. And so that caught their attention, they connected, and they eventually became very deep personal friends. Now, as we're talking about them in 2024, I'm not sure we necessarily realize how radical this friendship would have been. I mean, that just, it sounds like a nice story, right? But if you go back to that time, there was a ton of conflict between these two groups, especially in the context of the civil rights movement. So this friendship didn't make a lot of sense on paper. I'm not sure that these are the people that they would have sought out to say, like, let me have this kind of support in a time of turmoil, in a time of change. But it turned out that these two men were exactly who the other needed to make it through that season. They marched at Selma together. They would speak about each other in public and call each other modern-day prophets. And when King was killed, Heschel was invited to speak at his funeral. When I think about those kinds of friendships and I think about my own story and my own life, it's just really clear that we can't always anticipate who God's going to bring into the picture. We might not know that these are the kinds of people we need. They might not be the ones that we're looking for, but sometimes it's those people that have the biggest impact on our lives. Sometimes it's those people that can walk with us to places that we couldn't go by ourselves, that can remind us that we aren't made to navigate change alone. I think that's one of the reasons that Jeremiah makes this point to pray for the place that you've been sent. That Jeremiah makes this point that your welfare depends on each other because we need each other. And needing each other is not weakness. It's how God made us. And we get to show up for each other in these seasons of change to make it just a little less lonely, maybe just to make it a little less scary, just so we can feel the presence of God through showing up with each other. You know, you might be here today and be in a season of change. I don't know all of your stories. I don't know what's going on. It's a new year, new you, right? So some of us might be seeking change. Some of us might be resisting change. We might be wondering what change is going to bring in the next few weeks or months. But I think what I want you to know is whether you're excited about change or you're dreading change, you don't have to go through change alone. In fact, I want you in this room to look around. And I mean like actually turn your head. This is audience participation, okay? Look around. So you see these people. You may know the people around you. You may be sitting with total strangers. But here's what I know for sure. If you are going through a change, you do not have to go through it alone. There is someone in this room who will walk through you with that change. At the end of the service, Anne is going to be up here, and she would love to pray with you if you are holding a moment of change. Sometimes we just need to voice it out loud and know that someone's going to carry it with us. Just carry it to God's ears. That's enough. But I would encourage you, as you go through these things, as you go through these challenges, to know that you don't have to do it alone. Change is inevitable. It's scary. Some of us are really bad at it at times. But God gives us each other. And as we think about Jeremiah's message, as we think about possibility and hope and what it means to do it together, the most important thing I want you to know this morning is that change is going to happen. It's inevitable, but you don't ever have to do it alone. Will you pray with me? God, I pray this morning that you would just meet us with whatever we're holding. God, some of us are holding what feels like a lot of fear. We don't know what comes next. We don't know what to expect. We don't really know what you're doing. So God, help us remember that you do. Help us remember that you're present. Help us remember that change is a point on the journey. And help us remember, Lord, that you invite us into this deeply connected thing called church, where we get to hold all of the joys and griefs, the good, the bad, the question marks. We get to hold them as a community. Jesus, we thank you for that. We thank you for your presence with us today.